Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Jesus' farewell words to his disciples in John chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. There once was, once upon a time, a small United Methodist church in Dallas. I had only heard of this church from a few people, but everything I had heard about this church was that it was a wonderful community of people who welcomed everyone who came in the door and celebrated communion with them every week. Then one day, something happened that I'm not sure this little congregation expected. They were sent a new pastor among them, and this pastor just so happened to be an ordained Baptist. This Baptist preacher had her orders recognized by the conference, and I'm not sure if there may have been a little bit of apprehension among some people in the congregation. I'll leave that to you to decide. But what was remarkable about this congregation is that they quickly saw that God was at work among them through this new leadership, and even when she brought another Baptist along to assist in worship, these people decided to lay aside their apprehensions and to see what God might do. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you this morning, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We all like to know the rules, don't we? I just recently submitted my last paper of my seminary career, and I needed to know what day it was due. And I didn't just need to know what day it was due, I needed to know what time it was due, because I was going to sneak it in there just within the rules. Or maybe a speed limit is a rule that you need to know, so you know just exactly how much to break the rule. But you need to know where that line is so that you know at what point you have crossed the boundary from within the rules to breaking the rules. The church has often found herself in this same situation, trying to decide what the rule is between in and out. Who is part of the church and who is outside of that dividing line? And these questions have come up again and again over the centuries, trying to determine who are fully in. Peter, in our New Testament lesson from Acts, found himself in exactly this situation, and he found himself crossing the line between in and out in a rather dramatic fashion. The story tells us how all of us Gentiles came to be included in Christ's followers. So Peter went to the house of a Gentile, and not just any Gentile, but a Roman soldier. And he began to teach the people. And if we're honest, it was a pretty forgettable sermon, nothing unlike what we have already read in the book of Acts. But while he was speaking, something amazing happened. And the Spirit of God fell on the people there and empowered them as they had only seen happen among the chosen ones of Israel. Peter's response was the only thing that he thought was reasonable, and he baptized these people who had received God's Spirit. And when he got back to Jerusalem, the authorities, or the powers that be, called on him to explain his baptismal policy and why he had baptized Gentiles. But his only response was, "Who was I that I could hinder God?" God's Spirit was obviously at work among these people, and Peter was wise enough to get out of the way. John tells us in his gospel this morning what Victoria reminded us of last week, that this is really not our church to decide who is in and who is out. Jesus said it to his disciples as, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." It seems that Jesus is pretty honest that the line of who's in and who's out is not drawn by us, but by Christ's grace. And that those who would seek to then continue in a life of abiding with Christ are those who keep his commandments. Interestingly, Christ makes his commandments pretty simple for us. To keep Jesus' commandments is to keep the one command to love one another. I did say that he made it simple for us, not easy. My favorite part of this passage from John, though, is that Jesus is our ultimate example of what one's love for neighbors looks like. No one has any greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Friends. That's my favorite part of this passage, that one word. Jesus lays down his life for his friends. Now, he said this to his disciples some 2,000 or so years ago, but I have to believe that we are all included in these friends today, in 2018. We've been included when we called upon Jesus, and we continue to abide with Christ as we obey his command to love each other. At one point, Jesus says, maybe we were like slaves, and we obeyed without knowing why. A lot of us probably grew up in these pews or in pews like these, and we carried out a lot of the orders of being Christian, and maybe we didn't really understand why at the time. Or maybe we didn't grow up in church, and we found ourselves drawn into this place, but we didn't understand the end game of why we did these things and why we come to this table week after week. But Jesus tells us that we are called friends now, no longer slaves that blindly obey, but friends, because Jesus has shared God's purposes with us. He has shared the vision of what God is up to in the world, to bring God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, as we pray each week. Now, do you remember a time when you crossed that line between blindly obeying and becoming a friend with your parents, maybe? I can think of a few times throughout my life when that line was blurred, but Hannah and I hadn't been married very long when her brother took his own life after years of living with mental illness. And things were a mess around her parents' house, as you can imagine, confusion and grief, and piles of antiques waiting to be sold. Everything felt like a mess. Things weren't the way it was supposed to be, and we started to notice that for the first time because this grief had kind of paused the rest of the world that normally distracted us. So our shared vision as a family started very practically when we envisioned a memorial service in a clean and orderly house. And so we got to work, and we started cleaning, and we put things in their places, and as we did, a different vision started to emerge of not just a clean house for a memorial service, but an orderly family where things were the way they were supposed to be instead of this brokenness. And so we worked together, power washing patios and organizing things as friends and as people partnering together towards some goal. No more parent and child in that moment. No more savior and follower in this moment of the gospel. We have been made co-laborers with God as friends. We share a common vision of the world that is redeemed by the gospel. We see things that aren't the way they should be, but we know that Christ has shown us a glimpse of how things should be. Peter saw this vision of God's kingdom when God's Spirit warmed the hearts of even the Gentiles. We see a vision of this kingdom when people showed self-giving love to the victims of Hurricane Harvey last year. We see a vision of this kingdom in my grandfather, who spends all of his energy and his sobbing tears to care for my grandmother with dementia. We see this vision of God's kingdom in the hands and feet of people who have opened their arms to you and to me and who have showed love. If we're honest, we've all been tempted at times not to love people. And in fact, maybe we wished that God's Spirit would not move among certain people, but we all need Peter's wisdom to stay out of God's way. And we need the command of Christ to love each other. We, friends, have all been drawn within the in circle because of this mysterious Spirit of God that falls on people even at times that we think it shouldn't, and because Christ chose to first love us. And there's a deeper intimacy with Christ that we're continually seeking as we work together as co-laborers to bring God's kingdom, first in this room and moving out into the world. You know, I think there's one other place I see God's kingdom pretty regularly, and that's at this table. We come united together week after week, and we can't stay isolated in our pews, separated from each other, but we actually come out into this aisle and we mingle together and we kneel in unity. And I think that that's a place where we see God's vision of the world practiced week after week, that this is what it looks like when we all come to God together. And I have to pause for a moment today because this may be one of my last times to gather with you at the rail and to envision what God's kingdom is like as we ingest God's grace into our bodies. But I want to imagine God's perfect world with you one more time this morning. And so, friends, as you welcomed me some 14 months ago, because we shared a vision for what God is up to in the world, even as I was a young Baptist seminary student, and now I am glad that I can call all of you friends in Christ. Amen.